Welcome back to another episode of Rebuilding the Palisades podcast. Today we are joined by the one and only Mark Welch of Welch Design Studio. Thank you so much, Mark, for joining us today.
The one and only. Wow, haven't been called that. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to dive right in. So first, if you could just tell us how you got into this business.
It's an interesting story. If you heard the saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Well, it's kind of how what happened with me when I was a senior in high school, wondering what in the world I'm going to do when I graduate. Like, what do I do? It's like a lot of kids are like that, and my kids, you know, go through it as well. But I happen to be really good at art, and I happen to be a really good runner. I ran track and cross country all through high school, and my art teacher happened to be my cross country coach, and we're heading towards state finals, and we're doing this really hard run, and at the end, I don't know why, because Mark, you'd make a great architect. And I go, we just ran 10 miles, and what do you mean? He goes, I don't know, you should check into it. You should look into it. And so, at dinner, my parents, you know, I brought it up. I said, hey, Mr. Beckwith said I'd be a great architect. And he said, oh, well, and my dad, he intervened and said, well, I know an architect. Let me set up a lunch. And I grew up in Maine, very rural, very modest, suburban community. And I wasn't exposed to architecture, any great architecture. And so we drive to this architect's house. We set up a lunch, and it's in the woods in a wooded community. And we get out of the car, and it just blew my mind. I go, that is the coolest house I've ever seen. It just changed. Something inside of me changed. Then we had lunch, and he told me about architects and what they do. And I go, wow, that sounds so cool. And one thing led to another. And it was one of the first times in my life where I actually followed my intuition and I felt it in my heart. I go, this rings true for me, even though I don't know what it is. And I'm going to go to college. I'm going to try architecture school. And it's just been a very amazing journey, to say the least.
Sure. So you said you're from Maine. So what brought you to Los Angeles?
In my freshman or sophomore year at Cornell, my father got a job in Orange County, and that brought the family out. And I originally thought, well, I'll live in, you know, I'll graduate. I'm kind of on the East Coast. I'll live in Boston or New York. But I came out here, and I was like, wow, this is great. So I would spend summers and vacation and breaks out in California. And I was like, well, California, of course. And this was in the 90s, early 90s. And it was an amazing place to be. And
awesome, and I stayed. So after 24 years at a firm you helped grow internationally, mm-hmm. you joined forces with your wife, Lisa, who founded Welch Design Studio. So what motivated that move, and how did your past experience sort of influence the vision for what it is today?
My move to go on my own?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 24 years is a long stint. Mm-hmm. And it's that heart. It's a following the heart. It's that intuition. It's like what's guiding you through life. And life is a series of experiments and journeys. And I don't think my life would be complete if I didn't if I didn't do it on my own. And I learned a lot at my previous firm. And I took that knowledge and experience and joined forces with this with my wife, who, you know, I'm going to tell you a little secret that not many people have, but I like to work with my wife.
That's great.
It's a really unusual thing. A lot of people say, oh my God, I don't know how you do it. I could never work with my husband or never work with my wife. And they just, it's just an automatic no go. And Lisa, my wife, her parents worked together in the dental industry, and they were a team, and I thought it'd be great. We both share the same interests. We both love what we do. It's going to be great. And so we got really excited about the idea. And so, yeah, she had started the firm in 2006. And so I had a nice place to go. And we just said, we're going to go for it, put everything we have into it, and focus on building what we love to do.
Sure, that's a great partnership too, when you can both make it work, which actually leads me into my next question. So how do your roles complement each other, and how do you resolve creative differences?
We have very compatible tastes. And like one, as a analogy, we both love pizza, but I love the body of the pizza. She loves the crust.
Okay.
So like we complement each other almost all the time like that. And potato chips, I like the big, give me a big potato chip. She likes the crumbs. So I like diving into a project, and I'll fine tune the smallest detail to the biggest, you know, big picture idea. And she's like, well, that's great. I'm glad you like to do that, Mark, because I like, you know, I like more the textures and the materials. And so she was trained as an architect, but now she runs our interior design firm. We have a firm within a firm. So we've been married for a while, over 20 years. And we just complement, we just work well together.
Absolutely.
It's hard to say exactly how it works. It just kind of does.
yeah. Well, the pizza analogy was a good comparison. So speaking on that a little bit more, so your firm is represented by both architecture and interior design. Mm-hmm. So how would you describe your overall approach to residential architecture, especially when designing for clients who have really high expectations, and this is at the ultra luxury level?
Yeah, well, when we have architecture and interior design, and it's husband and wife or like a power duo couple, that does set us apart in the industry, I'd say. And it actually gives us a lot of flexibility, because people can hire us just for architecture, they can hire us just for interior design, or they can hire us for both. And what's nice is when we do both, it's a very unified team, because the interior design is there from day one. Architecture is there day one. Interior design is there day one. And right from there, we're working together. And we can solve things that come up instantly, like a feature painting on a wall. Lisa got the dimensions from the client. Boom. Well, we need to make that wall 8 inches bigger. And then we know how to, we'll focus on how we're going to light it. And we can do it on the spot. And we can integrate these, the whole process really well.
So it's a lot more efficient in that way.
Very efficient.
Yeah, absolutely.
And together, Lisa and I together, I think we're even more creative. You know, I feed off her, she feeds off me, and it's, the two heads are better than one. This like a mastermind creativity kind of. We springboard and we do the what if, a lot of what if, like what if we did this? Oh, then that brings on another idea, and then that another idea, and then we go, wow, this is better than we thought, and then we can't wait to show it to the client. Usually the client gets super excited, and it just springboard. But that's the kind of energy and dynamic we like to have.
Yeah, absolutely, and that dynamic kind of helps shape and influence not only your decisions, but also your processes. And, you know, like you said, it helps you stand apart in the industry when you mm-hmm. have the dynamic duo, if you will.
Yeah.
So on that, what, throughout your entire career, what would you say has been the best client experience you've ever had, or maybe a project that comes to mind that's a highlight of your career?
We had a project where the client was just extremely trusting, and they gave us a very little to go on. And they just said, kind of just, we trust you, you know, just show us what you got. Like, just do, put your best foot forward. And so we did. And we had a really good meeting. First meeting was great. And they were like, wow, this is way beyond our expectations. And then that relationship just blossomed. And then they put it forward again. They put that task forward again, is because we further developed a project. We got through schematic design, and we're going to the next step. And we got, like that, like I said before, we got the whole team, our whole office got really excited, and we did a lot more than we told them we were going to do. And we had this table. We have a 36-foot long table in our office, and we laid the entire table out with images. And it was a storyboard of let's walk through here to here to here. And we took this client on a journey down our table. And they, something happened to the mood. And the wife, like, she just stopped and she kind of, I think she was, I would say she was kind of crying. And it was like, oh boy. She goes, no, I am so happy. This is so exciting to me. She goes, if I ever have a bad day, I'm going to look at these. And I go, wow, to touch a client like that was amazing. I still remember it. It's like, wow. And we just, that was, because we just went into it with what we felt was right, going with our intuition again. And they felt it, like they... It was an incredible experience.
Sure. And it's one thing to see it laid out on plans on paper, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a totally different thing to actually imagine yourself living in that space and seeing it and visualizing it. I mean, yeah. I think if you can capture that for somebody, that's...
It really, it touched her very... We all got emotional.
Yeah, absolutely.
Discover why we're the most awarded home technology firm in the U.S., Our design-centric approach transforms your space with effortless control of lighting, motorized shades, audio, video, and more. Our friendly experts guide you every step of the way, no tech speak, just smart, stunning simplicity. We provide years of care from our award-winning service and support team. Experience technology that feels as good as it looks.
Yeah. Well, switching gears a little bit here. So, obviously... Los Angeles has been faced with one of the worst disasters in history, mm-hmm. with the Palisades fire affecting Malibu and even the Altadena fire as well. So you've been working on a project called Hilltop Villa in Pacific Palisades. And unfortunately, that was destroyed by the wildfire, as I understand it. So how did it feel to see your design lost? And how do you approach the rebuild?
Well, you've obviously done a lot of good research on our firm, but I'll just have to correct you on this.
Okay,
on this
sure.
one. So the Hilltop is actually a permit in the process of being permitted.
Okay.
And so the client, we developed the project before the fires,
mm-hmm.
and this is a very emotional. I think if anything is going to stand out, it's these Palisades projects that we have. The permit was, the project had started and almost ready to pull permit.
Mm-hmm.
And the fires came early January. The fires were coming and we're like, whoa. Anyway, it wiped out their existing house, gone. And so this client said, well, all our... on the forefront of our mind was, how do our clients feel? What is happening in their minds? Their whole neighborhood is gone. And so we and we reached out, and their immediate reaction was, "I'm done. You know, we're gone. We're leaving the Palisades. The project's on hold." And, you know, we fully understand that, of course. And then, time went by, and the energy shifted, I guess, in the Palisades community. And it was interesting. It wasn't much longer. She goes, "Well, we're still considering it. We're still considering moving back." And then it was not much, a little bit longer. We get the phone call, "Go. You know, let's go. We're gonna do this." And it's like, oh wow. And we feel these emotions with the clients. Like, yeah, we're rooting for you. Let's do it. You know, let's go ahead. Let's make this happen. And so, it's just that was just the timing. Across the street from that particular house is a house that finished probably 2 weeks before the fire. And now that's gone.
Wow.
So they were, their property's gone, but they're going to rebuild.
Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, people are going through a period of grieving and mm-hmm. trying to figure out, okay, well, what's next? We just lost everything, right? So, you know, that process, which it sounds like it took some time for your client to move through that yeah. and make their way back to saying, okay, now we're ready to make a decision. So, you know, your wife, Lisa, states that architects should create buildings that symbolize the present, reminiscent of the past while directing us to the future. So in this current situation, how do you make sense of that philosophy? How does that translate to where we are now?
You have to ask her. this fire put a lot of things in perspective, and we'll, as things move forward, processes and building and construction and methodologies and fire prevention measures will obviously change. But the house, the living, that needs to remain, you know, this place you live. Your home still needs to be your home. So, I think it's going to be really exciting to see how the Palisades rebounds. I have my philosophy on the Palisades, because as a kid, I was fascinated with taking things apart. Photography equipment apart and stereo amplifiers and my bikes and took everything apart, and I had to see how things worked. And when I went, I started driving through the Palisades as soon as I could. And when I started driving through it, through the complete destruction, what happened was the fire took the Palisades apart. It just took it apart. And now I could see how it really worked. I went in there, and if I squint my eyes and everything's gone, what I saw was actually a very, very beautiful place. The Palisades inherently is beautiful. You squint your eyes, and it's the topography is amazing, the ocean breezes, the ocean views. It's just an amazing, it's a unique place on the California coast. And so it's because of the topography, it's like opposite of Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills, I'd also say, is beautiful, but it's beautiful for a different reason. Beverly Hills is flat, and it's beautiful because of an urban planning idea of wide streets and tall trees and the help of Hollywood to glamorize it. But the Palisades just inherently has the meandering streets. It's a different scale. And it's because of what it is at its core, I think I would equate it to like the Rocky Balboa of the California coastline. It got knocked down, it got beat up really hard, but it didn't die. It still has a heart. And my strong feeling is it's going to come back with its arms raised, and it's going to be you know, it's going to be a new Palisade. It's going to be better, stronger.
So do you think that when it does come back, because the Palisades has always been known for its charm.
Yeah.
So when it does come back, do you think that it will be able to recapture that charm? Do you think it'll look different?
Well, it will definitely look different because it will be new. But it will, I think it will have its charm because the bones are still there. They're not widening the streets. They're gonna, you know, the streets will stay the same. The trees will grow back. The scale of the homes will be this, pretty, you know, relatively similar. And I think people will demand it. People will say, you know, we don't want to rebuild the Palisades into apartment blocks. We want to rebuild the Palisades to the charm it was. And that's what our clients were saying is, it's such a charming community. I can walk anywhere. We can do anything. The kids are safe. And it's going to be just the DNA of the Palisades will remain.
When considering a rebuild in the Palisades, kind of explain your process or what are the steps? I mean, you know, people are facing challenges with insurance and permitting. So walk me through a little bit of what your process looks like for that.
One of the key things to consider is we have to be patient because the city, the governmental agencies, Malibu, LA, and they're going through this for the first time. They're experimenting and they're figuring out what processes to implement. And I think a lot of the things they're doing are actually impressive. This idea that, and I think it's true, but I don't know for sure, that permit fees are waived. A lot of the building fees are waived, which is really great. There's also talk that architects can self-approve their plans. So sign me up for that. So the process is, I think, one of be patient and stay abreast of how things are changing. We're getting mixed signals. Some people think you can just walk up to a counter, here, get my permit. That's not quite the case. But it is getting, things are definitely being streamlined. And it'll be interesting to see. It's uncharted territory. So I can't predict how it will be. But our process is to, with any client, is to just, we call it critical listening. Listen to what our clients really want. Because a lot of times they're working with an architect for the first time and they don't really know exactly how to communicate what they want. So our job is to, hey, look, we're listening, we understand what you're saying, and we have a very fluid and flexible approach. Where there's, and in the beginning, there's no definite path. We don't know the path we're going to take because every path is specific to a client and custom tailored to each client.
Okay, so when you walk a client through this process, and like you said, it's different for everybody, you know, when you're approaching a rebuild or a redesign, you know, are you using what you originally had planned in terms of materials? Are you redesigning with more fire-resistant materials? Talk to us a little bit about
that. Is your question specifically for a client whose house burned down and they want to rebuild what they had?
Yeah, so okay. either that or maybe, you know, the project we talked about, the Hilltop. Mm-hmm. You know, talk to me about what goes through your mind on that.
Specifically regarding fire and how do we safeguard against fires?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I don't know if my viewpoint is the same as everyone else's, but in my opinion, a modern house is relatively fire resistant already. Because you drive through the Palisades, it is unbelievable to watch what burned down. You have the most robust building that's, you know, brand new, and it's gone. And right next to it is this old, like, tinderbox, like, ball, you know, just firewood house, old wood that could burn like that, and it didn't. So I think my approach, what I think makes sense is, you know, obviously common sense, but it's when a house, and I've done a lot of research on this, why are these houses burning? Why that one and not that one? And what it, because we never, you can't predict where a hot ember is going to land. So that's totally random. So assuming these hot embers can land anywhere, well, what do you do? Well, the landscape, that's the most likely place for it to land. That needs to be fire resistant. You know, having trees or having things and plants right up to your house, there you go. That's like a big issue. But with that said, landscaping next to a house, it can burn the exterior of the house. It can burn, you know, but it's very fire resistant. The weak point are the windows, because the fire gets that glass hot and the gas gets hot, and once there's a breach in that exterior, and it's typically the windows or a door, and then your fire can get inside. Once it's inside, there's all the food for the fire. That's the fire loves that. So it's, yeah, once it's inside, the temperatures skyrocket and the house is gone and there's nothing the sprinklers can do. So I think it's landscaping. I think window technology, like laminated, laminated glass, like you see in a car windshield, that's the next upgrade. And then also, I guess, for lack of a better word, water cannons, you know, and integrating those into your design. I think water defense, we can use water reclamation from rain, use the storage tanks, and there's your water, fight fire with that. As long as it's on a, you need a generator, you need to have the power. But people, I know a lot of people who save their house with their garden hose. So it's, I think fire, the water cannons or the and foam. We have, what our clients are doing now, a lot of them, is they're investing in this rain birds or these ways to throw water way out into the perimeter of their property. And I think that's really smart. I also think the state should be in the forefront of firefighting. Like we have these, you see these super scoopers. Well, I don't know why we're getting them from Canada. I think California should be at the forefront, and we should have the leading fleet of firefighting planes and aircraft. And when it's too windy that they can't fly, we could have amazing water cannons out in the forest, and we shooting foam or water and getting ahead of this stuff. You know, we could be setting a world standard of how this works. And fire breaks through the mountains. I can go on a little bit of a
absolutely. Well, those are all great points, and a lot of this I think comes down to just education, right? And being prepared and having a checklist and knowing what to do. And obviously with this fire, I mean, we saw how fast everything started to catch. You didn't have enough time hardly to grab your important documents and getting your family and your pets out safely. I mean, one thing that we haven't talked about yet on this podcast is you saw the reports of people having to flee their cars because they just simply couldn't get out fast enough. And so when you're really up against that time constriction and you're literally quite literally blocked in, there's nothing more that you can do. But I do think that, you know, if you have a pool and you have, you know, outdoor furniture and pillows and cushions that catch fire very easily, you can throw that stuff into the pool to help prevent at least things catching on fire very quickly. I don't know if you agree with that, but
absolutely, yeah. Yes, anything you can do, of course. Yeah.
Absolutely, and you know, it depends on the situation. If you have enough time to safely do that and reasonably do that, absolutely, that's a great way to prevent it from reaching your house. And to your point, it sounds like a lot of homes that are still standing would never have had a chance. It sounds like it was luck. And maybe the path of the wind or the embers, it just happened to not strike. So it's a whole combination of things. So, but all great insight for sure.
Yeah.
So what long-term role do you hope that Welch Design Studio will play in the Palisades rebuild?
Well, in a way, my career was built in the Palisades. You know, from the very beginning of first projects I ever worked on were in that neighborhood. And I know that neighborhood. I've worked there, have many projects there. And it's a very special place. And so it's what we know, it's what we love. And to be part of the rebuild is actually a very important thing for us. It was like a very high priority. We want to help. We want to use our strengths, our creativity, our passion, our sense of urgency as well, to help our clients, help new clients move forward and be the, you know, get up, you know, help achieve that rocky get up off your feet and let's make this Palisades great.
Absolutely. And you know, what do you estimate, how long do you think that this will take? Will it ever fully be done? What are your thoughts on that?
Hang on, I'm going to get my crystal ball. if it's going to take longer than people think. That's how things go. I think it's at least 10 years. There's 6,000 houses there. Plus there's Malibu and Altadena. It's a lot. And there's a lot of uncertainty, and I think it'll be, you know, pockets. This part will be all new, like wow. And then there'll be a little area over there that's never really got off the ground. And I think it will come back. I think it will look great quickly. You know, it'll look good again, and you can go there and go shopping. But to actually be like it was will take, I think, significant time, at least a decade.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, during the rebuild process, you don't want to be the first one back living in your home while everything else around you is just chaos, too.
We actually have that happening right now.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we have a house under construction. It was 6 months under construction when the fire broke out.
Okay.
And they were another one. It's like, what? We don't want to live in a war zone. And if we do build, we'll be the first ones back.
Right.
And we're going to have this brand new house in this, essentially, a war zone.
Right.
And again, we're very sympathetic. And of course, we understand. But it was just time. They just needed time. And they're like, no, we're doing it. We're gonna come back. We're gonna be the first. We are gonna be. Somebody has to be the first. Let it be us. And we're gonna set a trend and have the So the emotions are everywhere, but for the most part, what I'm seeing is that spirit, that heart of gold, that strong heart spirit of let's get back into it.
That's great. And that's ultimately what the community needs to help each other make it through. So this has been a really great conversation, and that ends my list of questions. But if there's anything else you'd like to add, I'm happy to open it up to you if there's anything you want to talk about.
Well, you're talking to somebody who really loves what they do. Mm-hmm. I don't think I well, I know there's nothing else I'd rather do than be an architect. And it's an amazing profession. We're doing everything from, some days we're scientists and we're experimenting on, or we're researching how one material reacts to another. And sometimes we're psychologists to our clients or counselors or, and it just runs the gamut. Every day it's something new and unique. We do projects of all different styles and types. And so it's just, for me, it's extremely exciting. And this, although it's been devastating to watch what happened in our backyard, in the Palisades and Malibu and Altadena, although it's just devastating, I think things will come back, and I'm just excited to be part of it because I want to help. I think it'd be great. My parents named me Mark, and I think this is my chance to help make my mark on at least the California coast.
Absolutely. Well, that's very great, and you know, it's great to see the community coming together and just genuinely wanting to help and mm-hmm. offer any experience or knowledge in any way you can. So, other than that, like I said, it's been a great conversation. Thank you so much, Mark, for joining us.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been great having you. And we look forward to joining your efforts in rebuilding the Palisades.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.